This is the Huey Alert Podcast with Craig and Shelley Huey, bringing you the tools to transform our nation and culture, the intersection of faith and politics.
Hi, it's Craig Huey of the Huey Alert Podcast. I'm here with my beautiful bride, Shelley.
Hey, everyone.
And Shelley, where are we?
Oh, believe it or not, we're in Nashville.
That's right.
What a trip. It's like where we live. And this is such an amazing experience being at the NRB.
National
wow.
Religious Broadcasters.
Yes.
And we're here with a special guest, one that I have followed his work for many, many years, George Barna. And George has amazing insight for the Christian community, how major trends are going on, major events that are taking place impacting Christianity. He's with the Cultural Research Center at the American Christian University in Arizona.
Wow.
Yeah, and
that's
he's got
awesome.
A brand new book. It's called Raising Spiritual Champions. And George, it's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be with you both.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we really respect your work. And as I understand it, this book covers 7 studies that you've done about youth, about children, and their walk with Christ. Can you give us an idea what that's about?
Yeah, the whole idea here is that everybody has a worldview.
Yes.
Everybody's worldview develops by the age of 13. And so if you want to impact the way that a person thinks and
yes.
lives, really those first 13 years are the key ones. So this was a book where we did research with children under the age of 13, some with teenagers, a couple of studies with adults, including parents. We even looked at pastors and their worldview.
Right.
And put all of this together to try to figure out if we want children to become disciples of Jesus, what's it going to take?
Right.
And that's what this book goes into, what the research shows us about how to be effective in raising your child to be a disciple of Jesus.
Wow. So if you're a grandparent, you want this book.
Yep.
If you're a parent, you want this book. And really, if you're involved in youth ministry, and anyway, children's ministry, you want this book.
I hope you do. Yeah. You know, the sad part, Craig, is that a lot of people won't want this book because they think, I just love my kids. I just, you know, do what I do, and it's all going to work out. If they grow up to be like me, we'll be good.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's a little scary, actually.
I think we can both say the number one passion goal as a parent we have is that our children walk with Christ.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the hope of evangelical parents and grandparents. But it's not happening. What did you discover?
Well, there are a lot of things that are happening. First thing we found out is that most parents don't pay attention to worldview development with their children.
Right.
They just assume, well, it'll happen. You know, they go to school, they're out playing with their friends, they watch TV, they listen to music.
Right.
Their worldview will develop. I don't have to be part of that.
Wow.
It's like, well, you better be, because the world is going to develop that worldview if you don't.
That
it's
is
a vacuum
such
that
an
will
important
be
point.
The
well,
world will develop.
You know, and quite honestly, I've got lots of friends that have kids that are falling into that category.
Mm.
And one of the things that I find interesting, and you've probably discovered this in your studies, is that Christian parents that really want to protect their children from the quote-unquote culture and the woke wars that are going on have chosen to take them out of the public school setting and homeschool them and go into co-ops. And what I'm noticing is the activism that they're doing by doing that has actually turned into
Passivism.
Thank you.
I'm here.
to help me with my vocabulary.
I'm here for you.
I'm so glad. Anyway, the thing that really has intrigued me is that they've taken a restful place of believing that the homeschool curriculum and the, you know, the things that they're getting in the co-ops, the things they're getting even in the youth group, are all enough, and they do not have discussions with kids. They don't engage in mobilizing their kids for doing what it would be called to do, which is go and make disciples and tell others about Jesus. And quite honestly, the thing that I look back at when we raised our kids, we were super thrilled to have a youth group that was powerful, right? And the kids enjoyed it, and the kids went to camps, and we went to family camps and the whole nine yards. But if you look at our five, one is really walking with as adults, and that's what I guarantee, reading your research, your studies, things that you've written about in the past, that's probably tracking with what you're seeing, right?
It's very painful because we thought everything we were doing was right in the home.
They were all good things.
They were all good things.
Yeah.
So tell our viewers, what have you discovered in that research? What can parents and grandparents do?
I've got a whole section in the book where I talk about action steps to take. And the first of those is you've got to wrap your head around the fact that your most important job in life, your number one priority, is to make your children into disciples of Jesus.
Yes.
Most parents don't think of that. They think, I'll take them to church. I'll drop them off.
Yeah.
Them.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
No, that's not what we're talking about. It's a lifelong commitment to you shaping their worldview, to modeling for them all the practices that are going to be important, so forth. So number one is understand the priority. Number two is then you have to have a plan for what you're going to do. Most parents, we discovered, parent spontaneously. They have some ideas about, I want them to get a good education. I want them to play sports. And, you know, I want them to, you know, be healthy.
Yeah.
And those are the real priorities, as opposed to, I want them to read the Bible. I want them to know God's word. Yeah. I want them to have a relationship with Jesus.
So awareness then comes the priority of God's word.
Yeah.
The Bible is the foundation of the start of shaping that child's worldview.
Yeah. In this plan, then, there are two particular things that you've got to be planning about. And so the third thing in this process is identify very specifically the beliefs that are going to be important for your children to embrace.
Hmm.
Don't assume that they'll just pick them up as they're going along. You have to be very intentional and strategic about it.
Yeah.
Fourthly, then, beliefs are important to translate into behavior. You do what you believe. And so, again, we have to be intentional about how we translate those beliefs into a particular lifestyle. And then fifthly, as a parent, you have to have the ability to evaluate how your children are doing at this. Constantly assessing, are they getting it? Are they doing it? Do they understand it? Are they passing it on to their friends? All of these kinds of that accountability. But also, when they're doing stuff right, let's celebrate it. Let's reinforce it. That's critically important.
Yeah, that's good. I wish I had this book. Why didn't you write this book? I mean, what was it, 25 years ago?
That's right.
I mean,
I'm in the same boat as you, and I keep kicking myself thinking, why didn't I do this before I raised my kids?
Right.
You know, and then I would have done a better job.
And believe me, George, I know listeners are thinking the same thing. I know that parents are really nervous, and they're very concerned, and they should be.
Yeah.
So, I think research put into this, bringing it into something practical, is important. What else did you discover in your research?
When you talk about worldview, most parents don't really understand what that is. They think it may be a special course of study, you know. But in reality, everybody has a worldview. You develop it before the age of 13. It rarely changes much, if at all, after the age of 13. And what it is it's the intellectual, moral, and spiritual filter that every one of us has to help us make sense of the world and who we are in it.
Wow.
So we all have ideas about who we want to be, about why we're here on earth, about what we could do that would make a difference. That's all part of our worldview.
Right.
And so your worldview is taking the beliefs that are the foundation of that filter and converting them into a lifestyle.
Mm.
So we've got to be very intentional about this process. There's a whole section in the book where I talk about the fear that parents have when they learn about, oh my gosh, my child has a worldview. I'm responsible for it.
Right.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to, I don't have a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
What am I supposed, because we found only 2% of the parents of kids under the age of 13 have a biblical worldview. You can't give what you don't have.
Right.
2%?
2%.
So those parents are age range, what, 35 to 40 maybe?
Early 20s to mid 40s.
Younger, okay.
In that range.
They call themselves Christians. They believe in God. They may believe. They probably believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They probably call themselves born-again Christians, but they don't have a biblical worldview.
Yeah, many of them would not call themselves born-again necessarily, but yeah, I mean, we got 66% of adults in America who call themselves Christian. Only 6% of those who call themselves Christian have a biblical worldview.
So where's that difference? What is it they don't believe?
So in here, I talk about something called the seven cornerstones of a biblical worldview.
Yes.
Because when these parents come up to me and they say, I believe what you're saying, I think it probably is important. How do I do it?
Right.
I don't have
right.
a biblical worldview.
Right.
Say, look, the good news is you only have to be about 10 seconds ahead of your kids. Okay. They're not going to know the difference. Okay.
That's true.
Yeah. So what you've got to do is start by building yourself a solid foundation. Because you can't give what you don't have.
Yeah,
so make
really
sure
good.
You've got a solid foundation. How do you do that? In the research one night, it was around 2 a.m, I was noodling through all the data, and I discovered this thing that I thought was shocking. That's the seven cornerstones, which is if you believe these seven very basic beliefs, you have an 83% probability of going on and developing a full biblical worldview.
Wow. Wow.
If you reject even one of these seven, much less multiple of them, but if you reject even one of these seven cornerstones, the probability of you then developing a full biblical worldview drops to 2%.
Wow.
So
huge.
This is a great starting point.
On a flight and being 1 degree off.
Yep.
You're headed for Hawaii. You're not going to make it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to wind up in Antarctica.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you've got to know these things. And they're so simple. When I looked at them, first thing I did at 3 a.m. was laugh out loud. Oh my gosh, people are going to think I'm nuts saying this is the foundation because it's so simple. But that's the great news. Anybody can get this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's about understanding.
That's so important what you just said. You're not talking about having to have a theological degree.
No.
You don't have to know Greek.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. No, I mean, you know, when God wrote the Bible, he knew that a bunch of numbskulls were going to be reading this.
True.
And so, I mean, it's easy stuff. You've got to spend time with it.
Yes.
You got to think about
right.
it. You've got to be willing to believe it and act on it.
Yeah.
But anyone can do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the seven cornerstones are a great starting place for every parent. It's simple, and it's something that they can then work with their children on to make sure that their children develop that same foundation. And, the beauty of this is when you look at what's working in discipleship today,
yes,
it's about relationships. Well, that's what we want to develop with our kids.
Right.
We want that relationship, that loving, trust-based relationship. Wonderful. Step one to discipleship, check it off.
Right.
But then step two, you've got to have some content, some substance, a direction that you want to be providing for your child's life. Mm-hmm. That's what the seven cornerstones begin to develop. And then how do you do that? Again, I've got a whole section in the book that talks about what works. This is from that section. And it really goes into the whole thing about having conversations, Socratic conversations, Socratic dialogue with your children.
Intellectual conversations.
That's right.
Wow.
But really the key to it isn't that you're delivering content. What you're doing is you're asking them questions.
And what you do is
you ask them, what do you think about, you know, the existence of God, about truth, about success in life? What is it? You know, any of these kinds of things, which are the cornerstones. And, you know, you're just asking your kid, what do you believe about that?
Wow.
What do you think?
Yeah.
And they'll tell you. And you don't tell them, well, that's really stupid. Don't you know what the Bible says? No. But you just say, that's really interesting. What brought you to that conclusion? Why do you believe that? And you start to unpack how they got there. Because in most cases, what you're going to have to do is tear that apart erase it and put in a whole different perspective.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Because my brain is now like churning with vision for what's going to happen next with this book. Where do you want this book? And I'm like, and can we use the principles that are in here to try to ask our adult kids who are no longer walking with questions? Would that apply to
I would say if you don't, the chances of you actually making progress are limited.
Ooh. Right. Oh.
Yeah.
Where do I find your book? Is it like on
right here.
I know that, but I mean,
yeah, Amazon. It's for sale on Amazon. They can go to georgebarna.com and get it. They can go to culturalresearchcenter.com. I mean, we've got the book around. But the important thing is to understand what you're up against. See, the thing that's shaping children's worldview today is media.
Okay.
It's not schools, it's not churches, it's not parents,
Ooh,
it's media.
Listen to what he just said. It's not schools, it's not churches. It's the parent and the grandparent.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And grandparents play a critical role in this.
Yeah.
Because we find that the grandparenting generations have a higher likelihood of having a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
So they're more likely to already have the goods to give. And many of them are finding this is a great process because now I can take my adult child and walk them through in a way that they didn't get the first time around.
Right.
So going back to vision, where do you visualize? You know, Craig mentioned you talked about youth pastors, parents, grandparents. But do you see this book like finding its way into a church where training could take place for parents, where if they wanted to, they could adopt this as a curriculum.
It would be a great thing. The problem is most churches use children as bait.
Ooh.
Because really what we're trying to do is hook the big fish, which is the adult.
Yeah.
You think about how churches measure success. Most, according to pastors, as we interview them, there are five things churches do to measure success. How many people show up, how much money they raise, how many programs they offer, how many staff people they've hired, how much square footage they've built. I'm a measurement guy, so I'm glad they're measuring stuff. But as a measurement guy, I know if you measure the wrong stuff, you get the wrong outcomes. You measure.
Right.
And so you've got to measure the right things. Those are the wrong things. Jesus didn't die for any one of those.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we've got to be doing the right stuff. Churches, because adults, what are we measuring? Adult attendance, adult giving, adult program engagement. All that stuff is all about adults. Kids are just a way to get adults into the church. Wrong mentality. So most churches really don't care that much about the heart, mind, and soul of children. There are some churches, I talk about those. We interviewed some of those in the country that are doing a great job in ministry. I tell you what to look for in a church that does it well.
Yeah.
You know, but as a parent, you've got to be so vigilant about what you're doing with your children, what media you're allowing them to be exposed to, what churches you're bringing them to. Understand, only 12% of children's pastors in Christian churches in America have a biblical worldview. One out of every eight.
I'm not surprised on that statistic.
But think about the implication. One out of eight children's pastors has a biblical worldview. They're the most important pastor in the church. Seven out of eight of them do not have a biblical worldview. You can only give what you have to give.
Right.
They don't have a biblical worldview to give, so what are they giving? They're giving other worldviews to our children. It's actually, in most cases, more dangerous to bring your child to a church than to bring them, and to keep them home and to teach them at the kitchen table.
Wow.
Here's what God's word says. Here's what it means.
And it's
well,
really...
you know what? It kind of reminds me of, you know, going to China and being literally forced to go to the home churches that are secretly meeting.
Yeah, for sure.
Because the state church is corrupt and a mess.
Right.
And all the indoctrination that's there in China and Cuba and all these other communist countries is like, what are they teaching, right, in the church?
Yeah.
And the Chinese in the underground churches are so serious about their faith. You have to be, because you know if somebody rats on you or they discover the meeting, you're going to be persecuted. You may die simply because you're reading the Bible. You were praying to God. You believe in Jesus. All of those things, you might wind up dead.
Wow. George, if I were listening and watching this, I'd be thinking, do we have hope for the based upon what George is saying? And at the same time, I think you've given a blueprint for that hope, a path for parents and grandparents to be able to communicate truth to their kids in an age of deception. And I'm pretty excited about this.
I'm excited. You know why?
Why?
I mean, I'm sitting here thinking how overwhelmingly dim and horrific are your statistics. Thanks for sharing, by the way.
They're not pressy, George, you know, but I mean, they're true.
I've got a quick question. How many disciples did you have? 12?
Oh, yeah, I mean, more than that.
But well, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah, the closer.
The fact of the matter is they learned how to be disciples from him, and then they made more.
Right.
And if you look at the percentage of those original 12 of the population as a whole,
right,
that's worse than 2%. So, I mean, they made an impact forever and still make an impact.
When you read the scriptures, particularly in the Old Testament, what you find is that when God transforms a culture, he doesn't wait till he has a majority.
Right.
He always uses a remnant, is how it's described. And usually that remnant, in one particular Bible story, there were 10,000. I don't need 10,000. So he took, you know, a few hundred from the 10,000. He said, let me demonstrate my power through this small group of people
right.
who love me and will serve
well,
me
well.
Well,
that's what this is.
That's what this is about.
This is the concept of a champion. That's a remnant right there.
It is.
Right?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
George, over the years, I followed your work. Theologically, I'm impressed because you know God's word, and theologically, you're on track for truth and righteousness. I followed your studies, your ability to analyze and take a look at statistics and be able to interpret them. And indeed, the fact that you've ended up writing this book for parents and grandparents, I think is amazing. And so as we come to a close, let me just ask you this one last question. You've taken a look at a lot of data about the church. You've seen the trends and what's happening in the last 10, 20 years. And you came to the conclusion you had to write this book. Why?
Because if we don't raise up spiritual champions among children, the church is essentially going to be, the Christian church, the authentic church, is going to become invisible in America. And so
wow,
I looked at it. I mean, I'm at an age now where I'm thinking I don't have much time left.
Right.
What's the most important thing for me to do before the Lord takes me back?
Yeah.
And that's why this book came out.
So I see this. This is a grand slam, in my opinion, just based on what you discussed. And, you know, I honestly believe that you have lots of grand slams in you still. But this one,
I hope I have a few more at bats.
This one's hitting it out of the park. And I think, honestly, anybody that has the ability to order this on Amazon, it's Raising Spiritual Champions by George Barna. You need to. It's not even a question. It's a no-brainer. Right, honey?
I've got a great idea.
What's that?
Before do anything evening, after dinner, let's read a chapter of this together.
Okay, that's cool.
Deal?
Yeah.
I like it.
And then
Thank
maybe
you.
We'll understand what our worldview is. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
All right. Everyone, thanks so much. You know, Raising Spiritual Champions, George Barna. George, we really appreciate you being here, sharing, writing this book. What we want people to do is go to Amazon, get this book, read it, and let's start really being parents and grandparents. I love it. Thank you so much. Kelly, before we end, I just want to encourage everyone. Take this podcast. Send it off to your friends, to your neighbors, to people in your church. Send it off to young parents, to grandparents. Let's get this out through Facebook and Instagram. Email it, text it, get this podcast out. You got to have other people listening to it.
And hey, can I pray for you real quick?
I'd love it.
Awesome. Lord, thanks so much for George. Thank you for positioning him as a warrior for our nation and the world. And I thank you, God, that you speak through him with specific, targeted solutions to the abysmal understanding of what a biblical worldview is in our culture, with our kids, with even us as grandparents and parents. Lord, I thank you that this book will grow legs that are going to be unstoppable, that once people get their hands on it, they will find themselves infected with truth and being able to have conversations that are intentional and strategic with kids and grandkids and kids that are in their youth group or any kid. A kid anywhere that lives on their block. I mean, you can influence the culture through this book, Holy Spirit. So we ask for it to be unstoppable. And we thank you, God, that you're putting a hedge of protection right now around George and his family and his ministry. And I ask, God, that you would continue to download vision for him for where this book's going to go. Give him the blueprint for the next steps with this book. And we do expect miracles within our culture, that this book will be a pivotal role in having kids not just understand a worldview, but they will want to be totally infectious for the gospel, and that they will be discipled, and that they will be unstoppable, and it will come back to the training that people gave them through this book. So we thank you, praise your name in advance for the miracle after miracle that's going to take place because of this book. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks. Amen. Everyone, next week, another great guest. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us this week. We are listener-supported, so please consider partnering with us by donating at craighuey.com or by signing up for our free newsletter. We look forward to being with you next week. And don't forget to share this podcast with others.